Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for Thursday, October 17, 2013. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker, CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Also this half hour, we'll have cash grain analysis from Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing in Windsor, Illinois. And we'll hear from In My Backyard's Lisa Braltz on the challenges of growing garlic. Have you dialed this number yet? 217-244-9455. Your $75 contribution in support of Will Ag will keep the Closing Market Report going strong and help us to meet a challenge for $2,250. Call now at 217-244-9455. Thank you.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures settled on this Thursday afternoon in Kansas City. Well, it's not in Kansas City anymore, but you get what I mean. Hard red December wheat, 749, up 4 1/4. The March at 748, up 4 3/4. December soft wheat at 686 was up 4 1/2. March, 696, up 5. December corn, 443, up 1/4. July, 470 3/4, up 1/4. November soybeans, 1293 1/4, up 16 3/4. July, 454 1/2, up 7 3/4. December soybean meal, 413, up $9.20. December soybean oil at 41.12, down 25. October live cattle, 128.90, and it is down 40 on the day. October feeder cattle settled, 165.77 1/2, down 22 1/2. And December lean hogs, 88.77 1/2, and they are down 2 1/2. And those are your settlements from Chicago and the CME Group.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Lerner's weather highlights, he says the greatest rainfall will occur in the eastern Midwest today and again Sunday into Tuesday across the north and east. West central and southernmost portions of the Midwest will be the driest, but not necessarily completely dry. The precipitation will delay field work at times, although some harvest and winter wheat crop planting will advance. The best drying conditions will be in the western Corn Belt during mid to late next week. The best drying in the eastern Midwest should occur in the second half of next week. Two late-month cool fronts are expected in the Midwest that will bring additional precipitation to northern and especially eastern portions of the region, causing some additional delay to farming activity. Southwestern portions of the Corn Belt may experience the best harvest conditions during that period of time.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Oh, start dialing now, 217-244-9455 with your pledge of agricultural support. We have a challenge underway, 69 calls to go, and $2,250 at stake. Won't you call now? Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises, and he is in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon, Dan.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Would it be fair to say that the rally that we've seen this week in both corn and soybeans has been constructive as sort of a consolidated building phase if you're a little bit bullish these marketplaces?
Well, that's what the technicians will tell you. At least so far this week, it's not massive by no means, but we did make new calendar year lows this week, and then we quickly turned to the upside. So we are higher for the week going into Friday's session, which, you know, unless there's a surprise overnight or a big USDA document dump that would confuse everybody to the point that they would sell out their positions, we're probably headed to a higher weekly finish, which would be called a weekly reversal to the upside. And really, that's not too off the seasonal tendency. I mean, markets have a seasonal tendency to find a low during the first couple weeks of October, and then gradually kind of pull out of that. Soybeans is a commodity that has the strongest strength coming out of a first half October low. Usually beans don't look back. They then climb higher as you go through the South American growing season and on into the winter. Corn futures very often will, you know, have a bubble up during late October, November, and then have a tendency to come back down and check out that early October low during the December delivery period. So, you know, seasonally is correct in here to kind of find strength. Soybean harvest, I think one of these days we're going to find out. I think everybody's hoping that USDA will be able to get caught up enough to give us our harvest progress numbers on Monday. And
I think that's, you know, very likely. I think I talked to Joe Persaki, and he said it's probably going to happen.
You know, up to this point, it's been guesswork. And anytime you get soybeans harvest past the 50% mark, and my guess is that we're going to be past the 50% mark, soybeans have a tendency to start strengthening at that point in time. But we do have to contend with the fact that, you know, yields are good. We've got a bigger crop than what we thought we had a month or 2 months ago, so that offers resistance. But since the government shutdown, basically, we've had China a very good buyer of soybeans and soybean meal over the past 2 to 3 weeks. So at some point in time, USDA is going to announce some pretty big export sales for soybeans and meal, and I think that is kind of what drove the market higher here today. Is somewhere in here USDA is going to announce them. They haven't told us when it's going to happen, but they're probably going to announce some pretty big hefty soybean sales, and that kind of put a little pressure on the shorts here today, and that was one of the reasons why we were able to close up the front three contracts here with some double-digit advances.
So we have no October report for crop production or WASDE. The next report is not until the second week of November. They'll be out in the field checking the plots beginning on November 1st, but the fear is that there's not going to be a lot of plots left to check, and thus the November report's data maybe not as useful as it might have otherwise been had it been following up on October's report. And thus, maybe we don't really get a picture on this market till the end of the year.
Well, I'm not too sure we get a good picture to start with what the production is. I read an article that actually some of the field sampling for the November crop report is being done now or over the next couple weeks here as we finish up October. And then depending upon probably who the employee is, whether or not he takes his job serious or not. They might have went out and worked and got some of those samples, even though they were furloughed. Most everybody knew that they were going to get a government check, depending upon it. So hopefully USDA's got some good farm boys and farm girls working for it that still felt an obligation to go out and get that data and send that in. And then they'll do their survey work, which that happens usually around the first part of November. They'll call up their farmers on a list and kind of ask them what kind of yields that they were bringing in, and then they kind of mesh those two together to come up with some kind of yield. The thing that the traders will probably be watching the most, and I don't know if USDA will be able to get it done in time, is again the certified acreage report that comes from the Farm Service Agencies. That's usually released in the middle of the month. It would have been out Tuesday here had the government been working. So they may get the fresh numbers by the time that November crop report comes around. That's the big question mark, I think. As far as the trade goes, they've heard enough yield reports that they kind of feel the national average corn yield is going to be up against the 160 level, if not above it, and enough evidence that maybe the soybean national average yield is going to be 42 and or above. So the only thing that really remains in doubt is what the actual planted acres are, harvested acres, to come up with that production number. So probably the most important number that USDA can probably give the trade at this point, I think, is what did we actually harvest? And they should have enough time to kind of get that data together.
Thank you, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises, and he is in Mandeville, Louisiana. Alongside me in the studio is John Steinbacher. And, John, I cannot believe how quick this week has flown by.
Either can I.
It has just gone by like grease lightning. So it's almost time to say last chance, Texaco, for our listeners to pledge their support for agricultural programming. I know it's been a busy week for producers as they're trying to get into the fields and trying to harvest. I know a lot of beans have been knocked down in the last 18 days or so, but it is a very important time for us. It's time for us to also do a little bit of harvesting for all the agricultural information that we've planted over the last 6 months since we've had an opportunity to talk to our listeners about the importance of our agricultural programming. And in order to entice our listeners to call with their pledge of support at 217-244-9455, we have a challenge that's underway.
We absolutely do have a challenge. A lot of great people got together to put this Ag Fund Challenge and made it possible, including AgriGold and Strategic Farm Marketing. Right now, we still have 69 to go. So when you call or go online, make sure and mention Ag. And, you know, don't wait for tomorrow. It's always Friday when people do it, but let's get this over with early this year.
217-244-9455, the number to call. May I suggest that you give at the $75 level. Go ahead and kick the tires. If you have never given it to the service before, this is the first time that you've run across our service or you've never considered about it, how about now? $75 gift in support of our agricultural programming will go a long way to helping us get that bigger total of $2,250. And by the way, that's enough to fund Commodity Week, this show that you're listening to right now, for almost a whole year. 217-244-9455 is the number to call.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more, slow-cooked over a wood-fired smoker. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. And from Common Ground Food Co-op, now at Lincoln Square Mall, featuring organic and local foods grown right here in Illinois. Learn more on their website at www.commonground.coop.
Lisa Brops ponders her one big gardening failure of the year, garlic, and asks advice from a knowledgeable neighbor in this latest edition of In My Backyard.
The best garlic I've ever had was bought from my friend Karen years ago at the farmer's market in Urbana, Illinois. I didn't grow up with garlic in the kitchen. I didn't really understand until I was in my 20s that it actually grew in the ground, that its native form wasn't powdered and in a jar, and that it is to be fated and not feared. Last fall, Karen gave me a wonderful gift, a brown paper bag loaded with garlic, which she no longer sold at the market but continued to grow in her home garden an hour north of town. I'd been thinking for years that I would plant my own someday, but I was intimidated. Garlic was, I heard, finicky, and here I was suddenly entrusted with these gorgeous cloves of garlic from Karen. Great. What if I planted them and had garlic failure? It would be a terrible waste. You can do whatever you want with these, she said. I thought for a couple of seconds about just taking them home and roasting them with a chicken, but I went home and cleared a garden bed instead. I pulled the spent summer vegetable plants and worked in some compost, and on a sunny and cool October day, I planted single cloves of garlic in neat little rows, and then I waited. Visions of mostly homegrown pesto danced in my head all winter long. It was not a success. Many cloves didn't come up, and what did was weak and spindly. The wild garlic that had somehow found its way into another part of my yard was more robust. I was really bummed. I knew I had done something wrong. I needed a garlic-growing pep talk before trying for 2014. I contacted Zach Grant, manager of the Sustainable Student Farm on the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign campus. He also happens to be my friend and neighbor and now personal garlic-growing cheerleader. He came by for a quick consultation. So, I asked after we sat down, did I plant it at the wrong time? Was mid to late October too early?
I see some growers, I think, you might be seeing Facebook posts from like Collins at Prairie Earth or something, like garlic planting party, probably maybe like next week or the week after. But we generally don't get ours. We've had success getting in as late as like the first week of November and still getting really good yields and crops the following summer.
Nope, that wasn't it. But then...
The other crucial thing about planting garlic in the fall is that you need to make sure that you have a nice, really thick 3 to 4 inch layer of mulch over the top of the area that you're planting.
Bingo. Instead of mulching immediately, I procrastinated, and when I finally did mulch, it was just a paltry, half-hearted couple of inches of straw. The cloves got wet and cold and basically gave up the ghost. They had needed more from me, and I hadn't provided. I felt guilty and not a little sad about all the pestos that would be made without homegrown garlic. Zach and I walked through the yard to make sure my chosen location for garlic wasn't also part of the problem.
So here we are. We're in my yard. Mm-hmm. And this is where, I know it doesn't look like this is where the garlic lived, but it was.
Uh-huh.
And then I planted some other things like for, you know, like later season lettuce and things like that. So should I not plant in this bed again? Is that...
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, maybe move it around. You mix it up a little bit. If you don't have... some of the disease problems that would affect the alien family, you could plant it again on the same year if you're limited with space. I mean, but you have a big enough garden where you can actually do some rotation in different spots.
Thanks to Zach, my friend Kathy, and the best cloves from the offspring of Karen's gift garlic, I have enough to try again for next year. One of these cool, clear days, I'll be pulling spent plants, working in compost, and planting. And you can bet I'll be mulching the ever-loving heck out of it right away. For In My Backyard, this is Lisa Braltz.
Joining us now with a look at the cash grain market is Amy Sage of the Andersons. She is in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Amy.
Good afternoon, Dave.
So I guess one of the first questions I would have for you, because I drive around a lot, is are we pretty much wrapping up with the harvest, particularly in the beans in our neck of the woods?
Beans definitely more so than corn. I'd say we probably feel like we're 80-85% done with beans ahead of this rain. Obviously haven't got much done the past couple days here, but still probably not quite half on the corn. Depending on what area you're in, to the north of us, they're a little bit further along, but still a lot of corn to get picked out in the country.
Of what's come into the Andersons thus far in its Champaign County facility, can you give me a sense of how much of it is going across the scale?
Getting sold across the scale?
Mm-hmm.
Very little. mostly being applied to contract or put into DP. Depending on what the market has been doing, we have seen some cash across the scale, more so in beans when we were sitting above that $13 mark. A little bit more today, selling of beans even out of DP with this rally that we've gotten here, but still going to be plenty left to sell from the farmer side on corn and beans this year.
So, therefore, you're going to have to be either seeing a rally in the futures or a rally in the bases. That rally in futures looks a little bit tough, given the what we know about the production and demand and ending stocks. So what's the basis going to do?
Well, really what we've seen in the rail market has been weakening through harvest, which is to be expected. We have started to see from some processors a little bit of a bounce in corn and beans as well. So some of the processor markets have been giving a little bit firmer of a bid here lately. We expect that basis levels will firm up as we get past this harvest push here and go into the deferreds. But again, there's going to be a lot to move, so it's probably not going to be anything by comparison that we've seen the past couple years.
Well, give me a guesstimate.
For January?
Yeah, for January.
So for January right now, we're 15 under. I mean, I think we could see another 5-10 cents improvement on that. And then we also have carry in the board, which is going to do some of the work for that for guys to store it.
So lots of folks storing it, and what is your anticipation that you're going to see some of that corn let go before the end of the year?
It's really hard to tell right now. I think we probably will. Not a lot of necessarily cash flow needs before the end of the year, but if we see a post-harvest rally with the better yields that we've seen, if guys can get these profitable levels once we get through the crop insurance average, we probably will see some get let go by January 1.
There's been a lot of talk about the downtime that we've seen from the National Agricultural Statistics Service and USDA in general, and what the potential for a release of a number of reports all at once might mean for the marketplace. And I guess the one that I would like to get your opinion about is, what if we get all the export sales report all dumped on us someday next week? What are the potentials that could do?
Well, it surely will be a market mover. One thing is that there's been a lot of speculation that China's been buying up beans and corn while the government shut down, which would be smart on their part while it can't be reported. So on this sell-off here, we think that there has been some export sales to increase. Some of that's been factored in now, obviously. So if we see those numbers confirm what we're seeing today, that probably will still be a bullish push for us. But if they're a little bit less than what we factored in, then we may see a sell-off. You know, I think it'll be a market mover regardless, but just depends on where those compare with what the trade has factored in.
Why don't we have your prices today then, please?
You bet. 428 cash corn, January 440. Fall 2014 is 458. Cash soybeans today at 1278, January 1284. Fall 2014, 1150. Cash wheat is 656, and new crop July 14 is at 662.
Thank you very much, Amy.
Thank you.
Amy Sage of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Have you dialed this number yet? 217-244-9455 with your pledge of agricultural support. We need your call now. It's about less chance Texaco to support the closing market report. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express card, and know that your contribution will also help us make a huge challenge we have underway for 100 calls during this pledge period. 217-244-9455, the number to call. It's National Pasta Day. It's also St. Richard Gwen Day, patron of large families. On this day in agricultural history in 1885, Sir Henry Bessemer, a British inventor, received a patent for making steel by blasting compressed air through molten iron to remove impurities and excess carbon. The process made it possible to mass produce steel inexpensively. In 1886, Ernest Goodpaster was born, a research scientist. He discovered the first practical method for developing uncontaminated viruses in chick embryos, which made the mass production of vaccines possible for smallpox, influenza, yellow fever, and typhus. And in 2006, the U.S. population reached 300 million people. By the way, the U.S. population more than tripled during the 20th century, from about 76 million in 1900 to 281 million in 2000. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
The majority of the Midwest weather is expected to be unstable over the next 5 days. That means that we'll see some waves of light precipitation moving from northwest to southeast across the region. Most of this precipitation, though, is just not likely to have a huge impact on the region. With that said, though, it's important to note that soybeans are usually not harvested if there's any moisture out there on the crop, just simply because it has a tendency to clog up some of the harvesters. It is a pattern that we're in right now that is going to prevail for a little while. I have a northwesterly flow pattern aloft, bringing in waves of cool air, and as each wave comes into the Midwest, it cools the atmosphere a little bit more. And as that cooling process takes place, it generates a lot of cloud cover and some opportunity for precipitation. And most of the moisture that occurs in the Midwest will occur in the forms of drizzle, maybe a little fine mist once in a while, and some brief rain showers occurring across the area. And this kind of pattern will disrupt the field operations, obviously, and will not have a huge impact on the bottom line for soil moisture, however. And we will expect the cloud cover and the light precipitation to work against temperatures each day, and afternoon readings will struggle to get above the 40s and 50s in the northwestern half of the Midwest and above the 50s and maybe some lower 60s in the southeast portions of the region. This kind of environment will leave what areas are a little bit too wet in that condition for an extended period of time. That means places like the eastern Dakotas and parts of Minnesota that got with the greatest amounts of precipitation over the past week will probably have a tough time drying down to the point of offering aggressive field progress. We will look for the low temperatures at night to fall into the 20s and 30s in the northwestern Corn Belt. That would include places like the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, portions of northern Iowa, and maybe back into Nebraska. Most other areas in the Midwest will not drop below freezing, and we'll likely see that state continuing into at least the middle part of next week, and most likely until the latter part of the week. The odds are fairly good that colder air will finally work its way through the entire Midwest as we get into the second half of next week, and that will bring those frost and freezes further to the south and east across the Midwest. The nation's greatest precipitation potential is going to be focused mostly across the upper parts of the Midwest over this next five-day period. There is some chance that a stronger storm system will develop in the last week of October across some of the eastern portions of the U.S. A strong low-pressure trough will likely be present over the heart of the Midwest, which will make the potential for the next storm system of size to be mostly an Atlantic coastal event. We'll continue to watch that. The models are being highly inconsistent with this particular event. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Make your pledge and support a WILL agriculture right now at 217-244-9455. When you do, you'll help us meet a $2,250 challenge thanks to our good agricultural partners, AgriGold, Bates Commodities, Stuart Peterson, Strategic Farm Marketing, and the Andersons. Your pledge matters. Call now at 217-244-9455. And that is today's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey.